Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly. For real.
Yeah,
it is. You see a lot of fake things online today, but for real, this really is the Full Force Weekly.
This is the why didn't we call it the Fool's Force today? I've definitely made an error of judgment immediately as we came in there. I'm like, why didn't they call it the Fool's Force? Anyway, welcome to the Fool's Force with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and my good man Patrick Not Picard Stewart. How are you doing, buddy?
Feeling a little bit better. Having a rough week.
Tell them why.
Day five of COVID.
Oh, bummer. I know, that sucks. Well, and I'm just like, you're coming on the show, doesn't matter. I don't care if you're sick.
Yeah. It's okay. I crawled out of bed and, you know, did my hair and shaved for the first time this week.
Oh,
and
man.
Here I am.
I feel so bad. Hello to everyone in the comments as well. Send Pat lots of get well soons, please. Mom, hello. Hello to the fam. And hello to everyone in the comments. So a couple of things to talk about before we go. We're having a little glitchy issue again. I apologize. There's nothing I can do about it. It's literally out of my hands. I've done everything I possibly can. There is nothing I can do to improve it. I'm sorry. So that will probably be happening quite often throughout today. I'm just nothing I can do. So we'll just kind of get by as we usually do. We've got lots to talk about, Pat. So much has happened in this week since the last weekly. It is nuts.
Has it really? I may have slept through it.
I think you have. I think you've genuinely slept through all of the stuff that's happened this week. Today as well, Super 7 will be revealing an April 1st special G.I. Joe release, kind of similar to their PSA parody collection thing, I guess. But we'll talk about that a little bit, well, very soon, a little bit later in the show. But there's a possibility that that is happening during the show and we can't add it. So we'll probably just do a news burst following the fact. So if we're not going to be talking about that if it reveals suddenly while we're in the middle of the show. But first off, we have got a lot to get through. And that we'll start with the news, a bit of Snake Eyes video game news. Well, this was a nice surprise. It had gone quiet on the G.I. Joe AAA video game front so far this year, but the Atomic Arcade Studio website posted an interview with GM and creative director Ames Kirshen regarding the upcoming game. In the interview, Kirshen was asked about the game directly, and he had this to say. There are many points of inspiration for the edgier and more mature take on the G.I. Joe universe we are developing with this new Snake Eyes-led game. Inspirations that span every major form of entertainment, the original G.I. Joe A Real American Hero comic by Larry Hama and the associated animated series and toy line from the early 1980s was my introduction to the IP, so it all starts with the initial impressions they all had on me. In terms of more contemporary versions of G.I. Joe, I really like what Devil's Due and IDW have done with their more contemporary characterizations and storylines in the G.I. Joe comics they respectively published over the past 20 plus years, and we have drawn inspiration from both lines. With that said, the biggest G.I. Joe specific influence on our game is the 2009 animated movie G.I. Joe Resolute, and I encourage anyone who hasn't heard of it or seen it to check it out. This is definitely the usual sort of thing you hear at the beginning of a G.I. Joe related project, but it is interesting that Resolute is leading the way in terms of inspiration, so you can fully expect a very mature style for this particular iteration of the brand. As well as all the expected quotes, Mr. Kirshen also explained, "On the video game front, the team and I look to modern military paramilitary based game franchises that have made a lasting impression on our team as well as core and mass gamers, such as Metal Gear Solid franchise, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Ghost titles, and the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon and the Division games, to name just a few. Additionally, we are also inspired by recent sword-focused melee combat games such as Sekiro, Ghost of Tsushima, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I can't go into detail on a majority of the elements of our game that I am most excited about, as they would spoil too much, but what I will say is one of the main reasons we chose to lead with Snake Eyes for the first game is that if you strip away all of the G.I. Joe IP-specific elements, at his core, Snake Eyes is half-deadly ninja and half-elite Spec Ops military commando. We believe the combination of those abilities and associated tools that Snake has in his tool chest make for a very compelling and unique video game protagonist for anyone who enjoys AAA action adventure games. I think this is the most promising part of the entire interview because it highlights the fact they want to make a serious AAA title to truly highlight all of Snake Eyes' abilities. Another important aspect of the interview gave us an official timeline of sorts. For all intents and purposes, while I was doing initial concept work on the high-level game design, story, as well as some visual development during my first year with Wizards/Hasbro, the development clock didn't officially start on Snake Eyes until the core Atomic Arcade leadership nucleus joined me at the studio in January of 2022. Over the course of 15 months, we've staffed up to over 25 amazingly talented developers and have made tremendous progress in further defining the lower-level game design and story, as well as prototyping our core gameplay mechanics and establishing our processes and pipelines. We are on target to enter pre-production this summer, and I couldn't be prouder of the progress the team has made in a relatively short amount of time. This really highlights the time it takes to create one of these games, so hopefully we will have more to report on over the next year or so. I have to say I was getting concerned on the radio silence for the game, but it would appear as though Snake Eyes is full steam ahead and in a good position with its own studio behind it. I'm just excited that Lightfoot is going to be in it. I kid, of course. Lightfoot will be the focus of the sequel. You can check the full interview out on the Atomic Arcade website, link in the description. Yeah, what do you think about that, Pat? Lightfoot sequel. Do you think it's happening?
For sure. Yeah, that's probably what the build-up is. You know, they're just testing out like the B-list character of Snake Eyes in order to work up to the A-lister of Lightfoot.
Correct answer. That was honestly the longest video we've ever had on the show, so I apologize for I wasn't going to edit it down. Sorry, you're just going to get the full-on interview effectively. Lots of stuff to unpack here though, Pat. First off, great to have like that break and radio silence, because it was getting a little bit like, oh, I wonder if they're actually going to do anything here, or if this has been canned, or has it been cancelled. So it's good to know that actually they are still in development and there's a lot kind of still being put into this.
Yeah, there's some changes that happened at Hasbro, and we were even wondering and we hadn't heard anything. So and the trouble with that is the fact that in order to have a really good game, it's going to take some time. And it sounded like they had put a lot of time into it already.
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear that it's just been continuing and that they actually are finally making a G.I. Joe game that they put some time into.
Absolutely. So Neil Hill just said, Chris, stop trying to make Lightfoot happen. Such a mean girl. I have to say that there was some element of conceptual design and build-up was going on before January 2022, as he mentioned in the interview. But the kind of development clock proper started on January 2022. So we've had over a year, but as we both know, these games take like 3 to 5 to get something proper good out of it, doesn't it?
I don't really know. that sounds accurate.
Yeah, it does. Trust me, it takes a long time to make a good game.
Plus, a lot of games now are just based on the game that came out the year beforehand. Like Call of Duty, sure, it may take a long time and a lot of people put that together, but they're building off of the Call of Duty from the year before every single time.
Yeah.
So to build a new game that's really going to work from the ground up, I think this is kind of amazing that we're seeing this.
Yeah, totally. And also a whole studio dedicated to a G.I. Joe game. That's pretty cool. Also, we believe there are other games in development as well at the same time. I think a mobile game and some other stuff that's kind of like been talked about in the past. So there's some more than one thing is going on, but this is the main focus, I believe, of the studio. Grant has asked, good morning, Chris and Pat. Chris, is that a sports jersey? If so, what's it? It's Bazooka's jersey, mate. I'm wearing Bazooka's jersey, which is technically a Patriots jersey. So, and I'm a Bears fan, so I shouldn't really be wearing this, but I'm also
a G.I. Joe fan, so it's fine. I feel like that's an acceptable route around that. Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not a Patriots fan either, but I'm not really a football fan, so it's fine.
But you are a G.I. Joe fan.
I am a G.I. Joe fan.
There you go. So
can you get a Tiger Force jersey, though? And then it wouldn't really be any team.
Yeah, it'd be like Miami University. Right. What else are we saying in the comments? Thanks very much, guys, for all the comments. Really appreciate it. Grant says, with Atomic Arcade saying they're taking inspiration from Resolute for the Snake Eyes game, do you think it influenced the design of his outfit? Pat, go for it. What do you think?
That's actually one of the first things that I was wondering myself, because obviously this picture that they have of Snake Eyes is not something that they developed. And Resolute's character designs was one of my favorite parts of that entire show. And not just Snake Eyes, but the rest of the cast. Everybody looked really great, I thought. Like their thought that they put into redesigning things, I don't know, it just worked each and every time for me. So if it does look like Snake Eyes did in Resolute, that's a plus. I'm going to say no, not exactly. But maybe the inspiration is... maybe the violence level is about what they were going for.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be, yeah, I think they'll be heavily inspired by it for sure. And I think we'll see it in the design a little bit. What I'm interested in is, because this is going to create yet another version of Snake Eyes, isn't it? So I wonder if they're, you know, if we'll get like figures based on this as well. I wonder if there'll be a classified figure to go along with it when the game comes out, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that would make sense. For Star Wars, they do that Gamerverse stuff, so maybe you could just see some G.I. Joe Gamerverse.
Absolutely.
And then I could finally get, like, some, you know, Taxan 1990 or 89 or whatever that original NES game came out.
Favorite game.
That's going to remain my favorite game. Like, I hate to say to any game developer for G.I. Joe, I have such fond memories of that one, that's going to push that one over the edge, even if they make a game that is... definitely better.
This is a good shout from Viper Scout as well. I want all his uniforms as alternate skins for the game. That would be a really good idea, actually.
That would be excellent, yeah.
Especially version 4, says Pat. Just kidding. Also, you say, I would play a Lightfoot game. It would be like Minesweeper, right? Yes. Jeffrey's... Oh, I can't actually put that. Well, I can. If I don't get Quinn and October Guard before Lightfoot, I'll be pissed. Well, Jeffrey, I won't be. But yeah, Quinn would be awesome. And so would the October Guard. But I don't think they'd be doing the October Guard anytime soon, honestly. Leon says, thank you very much for the super chat, Leon. Lightfoot will be revealed as the new Cobra Commander and the murderer of the Hardmaster in the game. I mean, it only makes perfectly good storytelling sense, that, doesn't it, Pat?
No.
Ninja Force Lightfoot, that's what I'm expecting next.
That's really not that big of a stretch considering the Ninja Commandos.
Neil's asked me if I have Bazooka yet. I do not have Bazooka yet. Not this Bazooka yet, the classified one. No, not yet. Am I a Bears fan because of the fridge? I'm a Bears fan because of Walter Payton, but I'm technically a Bears fan because when I was a little boy, the Bears beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl in the 85, and that game was somehow on TV back when in the UK. It was like one of the first that we'd seen televised, and I was so infatuated with the Bears. I thought they were so cool, but I just thought Walter Payton was amazing, and my dad got me a little Walter Payton jersey as well. I don't know what happened to it. Like, I kept everything as a kid, but I have no idea what happened to my little Walter Payton jersey. And he even cut out foam to put in as padding under it because it was so much fun. But anyway, that's why I'm a Bears fan. Cool. Yeah, okay. So that is the computer game. I mean, not much else to really go into. It's probably going to be very adult themed. We've heard that. It's going to be kind of more violent. It's a AAA game, so there's a lot more going on there. A lot of inspiration from multiple areas, as you'd expect, and as you'd expect them to say at the beginning of a project. But the fact that Resolute was dropped in there is quite interesting. And as Pat mentioned, I would be very interested to see inspiration from the design and inspiration from the actual, you know, the level of, I guess, violence, as you put it, Pat, in that game, to kind of like, I don't know, it'd be the first time we'd really seen a game like that for G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the violence in Resolute seemed to have been dialed back from the initial plans for the violence in Resolute. But you still had Snake Eyes using his sword on cobras, which was not something that you would see in the Sunbow cartoon. You know, Sunbow will whip out his sword, but wouldn't necessarily stab a trooper with it.
Plus, like, Cobra Commander executes one of his troops for disagreeing. Well, not even disagreeing, right, but just, like, kind of turning around and going, are you sure that's wise, sir? Bang, off you go. So, yeah, it's like there's a level there, definitely.
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah, it's... I do think, though, like, in my head, the thing that clicked first was more about the character designs than it was the violent level.
Agreed. I'd say the same thing on that one. I think in my head, it's like we're getting another Snake Eyes version to add to the list as well. And I'm sure there's going to be toys that follow that after the fact.
Well, don't you think he's going to need to look just generally how you think of Snake Eyes anyway, though?
There's going to have to be that obvious element there, but there's going to be differences. It's not going to be the same as the classified design, and it's not going to be the same as...
It's not going to be... It'll be as the same as the classified design as the movie design is, and as... You know, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting it to be visor, like 1985-inspired Snake Eyes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Anyway, well, we'll see. I guess we're going to start seeing more about this over the coming months, which is a exciting prospect, because this is something that's been one of those things that I've been kind of waiting on more news for, more like visual stuff. And like now, at least we're getting this interview with Ames Kirsch, and we know that it's still going on, still being developed. And I think that was necessary to kind of like break that silence a little bit. So,
that's great. And I like that he actually was rattling off G.I. Joe information rather than it feeling like he's just been handed a synopsis of Snake Eyes over the years and is working off of that.
Yeah.
It sounds like he actually went back and looked at the history of the character.
Yeah, totally. Also, we also know Brandon Jerwa is on the team as well, isn't he? He's doing some of the writing too. So I'm not saying that had anything to do with it, but obviously Ames Kirshner, I guess, has been, you know, they've been developing this as a group, as a team. So all this stuff will probably be fresh in his mind too. And that's the thing as well, isn't it? You can't expect everyone, I guess, in all facets of a company to be massive G.I. Joe fans, like I don't, from like a child. Right. That was one of those things that I always had trouble with. Like if someone worked on the brand but didn't know it very well or wasn't like into it a great deal or doing something for the brand but was like really being utilized because they had a lot of followers or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like I would struggle with that. But then I just thought, well, it's just not everyone knows everything about like the whole thing. Like they'll have some connection to it probably, but like in a different way to, you know, you or I, or anyone in the comments, I'd imagine. I imagine if you're watching this at this show, you'll know a little bit about G.I. Joe.
Sometimes that's the approach though. Whenever a new project of any kind starts, sometimes you'll see a company actually intentionally find somebody who is a good creative force but knows nothing about the brand,
right?
So that they don't get stuck into the same ruts that the same people have done a million times.
Yeah, like a fresh outlook kind of.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes that happens, but sometimes I think those diehard fans that are creative are capable of breaking out of that anyway.
Yeah, I do too, honestly. I don't think it's 100% necessary to do what you just said there about getting someone completely new to it and to get a fresh take on it. But yeah, I think there's also a balance there, isn't there? Of knowing the brand, but not like being a super ridiculous, knowing every single detail about it. You can still, you know, pour things into it that make sense.
I don't personally want Snake Eyes to be talking because somebody has a fresh take on the brand.
True. Robert H says, I hope Timber's in it. Oh, that would be so good, wouldn't it? To have like Timber as almost like an attack maneuver or something. That would be so dope.
Yeah, or maybe even just like a level that you work with Timber, work along him, kind of in...
Like finding him, like coming together for the first time in a mission would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like almost like a reinvention of the way it happened in the Sunbow cartoon where he was throbbingly radioactive in the wherever it was in the middle of nowhere in the cold. So yeah, I think that would be kind of cool. Anyway, yes, awesome. Well, that is Ames Kirshen and his interview on the website for Atomic Arcade, which you can find a link to in the description below. We'll move on now into the next segment, and that is in Super 7 just being massive teases.
Super 7 have been in a teasing mood this week with two teaser images for an April 1st, yep, today, reveal and an Ultimates reveal for this coming week. The April 1st post was an image of a graffiti cobra symbol on what looks like a subway train, as well as some other graph art saying No Joes, Cobra and Serpentor 1, with the caption, No Joke, launching April 1st. They have made a habit of releasing products on April Fool's Day and even have precedent with G.I. Joe last year with the PSA parody collection. It's very likely we can expect a reaction-related set or number of figures related to that scene in the Pyramid of Darkness when Cobra High Command escape the Joes in disguise on the subway. It just seems so perfect for Super 7 here, and April 1st would be a great way of releasing those particular figures for sure. They have been closely mining the Pyramid of Darkness Sunbow 5-parter, and for good reason, there's a lot of good stuff in there. It would be unsurprising to see Cobra Commander as an old lady, Destro as a construction worker, and the Baroness as a nurse based on this particular teaser. I would also expect some other related merch like t-shirts or socks etc, but we shall have to wait and see later today. Super 7 also dropped a massive hint as to one of their next Ultimates figures, which should be revealed this coming week. The image is of one of the accessories for one of the four figures in the wave. The accessory in question is a gas-emitting Cobra in a basket from the Revenge of Cobra Sunbow episode that saw Zartan and the Baroness help Cobra Commander to escape from Blackwater Prison. It is likely a nod to Zartan, who has been expected for some time in the line and will make for some fun speculation before we see the reveals next week. We will be talking to Brian very soon about these reveals and any other news surrounding G.I. Joe at Super 7 in the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for that.
Indeed, yes. So Super 7 has just been teasing us constantly all week, Pat. Did you miss both of these by any chance, being sick all week?
I actually did see these.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I did. So first up, April the 1st, right? Which is today. So it should be happening any moment between now and when we finish this episode, which is usually what happens, isn't it? We very rarely get things that break on the show. They usually break shortly afterwards or in a position where we can't do anything about it. So either way, we are still in guess mode at the moment, and I keep refreshing my feed just in case. Now, in the past, they've revealed stuff at, I want to say, like 1 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern, which is like 1, 12, 11, 10. It's like 10 on the West Coast, which is where they're based. So it's, you know, likely we're going to hear about something in the next couple of hours, I would imagine. What are your thoughts seeing this? What do you think we're going to be seeing?
Well, I think you're right on. I'm kind of wondering if the twins would be included or not far behind in their business suits.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
But it was a big set last time. So if it's just a 3-pack, that will be a lot more manageable to me. But my overall feeling is, I remember saying specifically, bring on the weird, and this is the weird. This is definitely a win for me. Like, these are not figures that I would have wanted necessarily in an O-ring format. Getting them as, I can't imagine that they would be Ultimates. They would most definitely be reaction.
Oh, yeah. I'd put money on it. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, so getting them as reaction figures, I think that's an instant pre-order for me.
So my guess is it's going to be these three, but it's going to be in like a cool packaging where it's like, because obviously the Pyramid of Darkness was the same kind of the Pyramid of Darkness, even though it's called that set. This is technically the Pyramid of Darkness as well, but the kind of slip sleeve cover that exposes the window so you can see each figure individually. It'd be fun if it was in like a subway and you could see them through the windows or something. That'd be freaking awesome. Like in the actual subway car, and you slide the top off and the subway car's underneath. Like we've already seen with the teaser, you've got the subway in the back, the subway car in the background, the graffiti on it. So I'm guessing that we're looking at an element of the packaging here.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. There's definitely some work that's gone into this image. More than I would expect them to do just to release a teaser.
Yeah, definitely. That's fun. Love that. And again, if they do that for reaction, I think that's going to be quite a popular one. And I agree with you. I've kind of, I I don't know why I left the twins out necessarily, but you're right, because I mean, when else are you going to do the twins in their suits? That's actually a good shout and something I haven't properly thought about, because you could easily do a five pack. He's, like I said, we just had that Pyramid of Darkness set, which was like, was it three troopers, a robot, and two Blumin, and the two disguised Snake Eyes and Shipwreck, and Polly and Timber. So there's a ton in that set.
Yeah, I can see, though, people wanting to get the twins in a separate pack from these three, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people, as crazy as it is to me, there'd be people who want the twins in the suits, but not the three disguised Cobras. Yeah. So
not in their circus acrobat uniforms.
Plus it would make for a little bit of a weird set to have the Tomax Zaymont not disguised.
I guess this is their disguise, isn't it? It's like their, but it's not the same. It's certainly not the same as what Cobra Commander, Destro, and the Baroness are rocking. And again, really fun idea. And I think if they do this, I think it'll be pretty, it'll be funny for one, but also I think it might be quite popular as a little display piece.
I think so too. Yeah, this was I picked up the Pyramid of Darkness set and I like it, so I'm hoping this one. I'm hoping you're right.
Sorry, I'm just refreshing.
You're refreshing to see if they've revealed it yet.
No, I just in general, I'm a refreshing human being. No, that's a joke. Yes, I am refreshing my feed every few seconds. That's why I keep doing that. That's what I'm doing, guys. I'm just trying to keep on top of this for everybody. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be told anyway in the comments, like as soon as it happens, someone will be like, it's live. Why are you still not talking about it?
That's probably true. If we notice it in the comments,
let us know if it does happen and we'll be all over it. Like nothing.
Neil Hill says that Super 7 said their Pyramid of Darkness set didn't sell well. Well, if that's the case, maybe scaling it down to just three figures would make sense. It would make it still easier.
Another good Sherlock Holmes bit of information there, guys. Thank you. Right, the other teaser was this bad boy. This is for next week. We know that the Ultimates reveals are coming now that the Wave 1 is shipping from Super 7. That's what was said by Brian in our interview. And obviously it's what has been kind of on the cards for a while. They've held back until certain figures have been in hand. That's probably very wise of them to do so. And this coming week, we are going to be getting more Ultimates in that Wave 4. This is an accessory for one of those figures. What do you think, Pat?
It's so Sunbow Cobra. You know, it's you can't just have like a gas grenade that you just toss in that you could, you know, carry 30 of them for the size that you can carry one basket. You have to have, and it can't just be a Cobra grenade that spits up. It has to be a Cobra in a basket that then pops out and has the gas.
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, that's how it goes. Who do you think who do you think is going to have this particular accessory? Because it could be a couple of options here, couldn't it?
I suppose, but it's got to be Zartan. Didn't I call for Zartan recently as my pick for
I'll have a look through the the monthly that we did, because I do have, you know, huge documents that we put together for this kind of stuff, just so we know that when Pat's wrong about something, I can tell him about it. That's a joke.
I think it's been within a month that I've said Zartan. And
we had
Zartan.
The Ultimates. The Ultimates episode. I'm just loading up now just to see what you actually decided. It's been so long that I just forgot what was said. So Justin picked Leatherneck, Wetsuit, Cobra Commander Battle Armor, and Chuckles were his four. Now, this wasn't necessarily what we thought the next wave was going to be, by the way. This is just what we wanted to see. But Pat did say his number one choice, Zartan.
Yeah, and what I was trying to think of was what would actually... I was trying a little bit to make mine make business sense of what they should do with Ultimates, because I don't think that they should be going and making Subway figures, you know, Subway disguise Cobras.
Right.
In Ultimates.
Right.
Like, it needs to stay a little bit more grounded and get some of the core and the B-list and C-list stuff out.
It's going to be four different Lightfoots in different colors.
Yeah, it's... What are the... Well, you've now called out four colors for Lightfoot. We know what the first two are. What are colors three and four?
I've already said it earlier in the episode, Ninja Force.
Oh.
And okay. Shadow Ninjas, because obviously that follows quite closely afterwards. So you'll get like the one of him in his in his Ninja Force outfit, and then you'll get the transparent-y, color-changey one. So, cool?
Okay, I'm still insistent upon it being Ninja Commandos, but okay.
Okay, that's fine. It'll be Ninja Commandos and then Shadow Commandos. Shadow Ninja Commandos. Amazing. Pat, you also chose... you actually chose a lot of my favorites that I ended up kind of defaulting away from, but Televiper, because I think Televiper would be an astounding option. You also chose Ace, which was very genius because it's so different design-wise in the Sumbo comic and in the Sumbo cartoon to what we know him in the toys and all that kind of stuff. So that was a great shout. And you also chose Roadblock, who is one I expect in this next wave of figures as well.
Yeah, I would be pretty happy if, along with Zartan, at least one of those other three was also one of the reveals. I would be really excited for them to do Ace.
Because Ace would be a good shout.
It'd be a really good figure.
And also so different to what he looks like
right.
everywhere else. So, yeah, definitely, you know, but not in a quirky way. It's not like Ace in a disguise or like, you know, like not dressed as a construction worker. He's literally like a different design, and it would make sense to do something like that. My idea, well, my predictions, I would say, might be too heavy-handed in that I think they'd probably spread some of them out. So I think if we're getting Zartan in this wave, we'll probably get a Joe heavy hitter in, like, say, Roadblock or Gung Ho. I think Roadblock would be a good shout, though.
Yeah, for sure. Roadblock, Gung Ho would be a good one, but I think the Roadblock is a little bit more in the short list than Gung Ho.
I just wonder if they're keeping it to like one heavy hitter per wave, if you know what I mean. Or they'll try to do that going forward.
Maybe, yeah, to space them out a little bit more now. I could see that because, you know, they started with a lot of the popular ones right away.
Yes, Leon, heavy-handed is the opposite of Lightfoot. He just goes around smacking the ground for testing to find explosives. That's what he does. This is a good point, Neil. The question is, if they do Zartan and Ultimates, will they cheap out on the color change gimmick like they did with Reaction? I think if they didn't do it in Reaction, they're probably not going to do it in Ultimates. But I don't know. What do you think, Pat? You're not Neil.
I would assume no as well. If anything, maybe some of the heat-sensitive stuff a vest? What is he even wearing? Is that
It's like a glass crop top, isn't it?
It is kind of a crop top, but it's like has buckles on it.
It's like it's got like metalwork and glass and also it's like perspex. It's all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, if you go by the figure, it's
armor, but
it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, perspex. That's plexiglass.
Yeah, we'll say like the bulletproof plastic plexiglass mix or something, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's just say that.
A pentaplastic shield.
That's the what? Thank you. Thank you very much. Killing on the movie knowledge there, Pat. The pentaplastic shield that it appears only Pythona can get into, which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yes, Neil, I personally don't think we're going to see the color change. If they do, phenomenal. If they do, that'd be freaking awesome. But I don't think they will. We'll see. Jason, this is a good point because this was another one I expected to throw in there. Not Xandar. That's a cool one to do, though, because he's really, again, has some good moments in the Sumbo episode. Mm-hmm. But Major Blood was another one. And I wonder if that would be two heavy hitters in one wave that probably wouldn't happen.
Major Blood and Zartan in the same wave?
Yeah.
I would expect Zartan and a trooper of some kind more than I would expect, because they're going to have to get the troopers out slowly as well on the Cobra half of things.
So wave one had the bat, wave two didn't have a trooper, wave three had the trooper, wave four might go again might have a trooper, they might not, they might be doing it like that to kind of spread out the army builders a little bit more. So, but again, it's been a while since we've seen a wave. So I wonder if they're taking that into consideration. It's hard to say. It could be anyone we're looking at, couldn't it? I mean, it could be any group of figures, but I would expect maybe like a Baroness in a black costume at some point. Cover Girl, I'd expect. We've had Scarlet, we've had Jay now. So I think in terms of like kind of main characters, females, I think we're definitely going to keep seeing that like sprinkled in as well.
Yeah, I would expect like Baroness in Black to maybe be, that's a good question, because they could release her, but I would expect that to be spaced out and maybe not an exclusive done with that, but
yeah,
something done to make it a little bit different than the other one.
One thing I will say is that Baroness's first version was way back, wasn't it? It was like wave two. So
yeah,
way back. It's only a wave ago. So we've had a wave in between. Maybe they would, maybe they might not. They might just go with, like I said, there might be like a cover girl might be a good one to drop in here. Maybe is the blonde version.
Well, couldn't they just do both? Well, I guess not, because they changed the color of her outfit.
You could do multiple heads, but then you, like you say, you lose out on the fact that she's different on the bottom, kind of thing, on the rest of her body. And I think she's deserving of two figures eventually. Like, you know, I think that would maybe go with one for now, and then in the future look at doing another one.
Yeah, I think that I would prefer getting the blonde one first, because that's the one that's more different.
Yeah, totally. And they've already done that in the reaction line, so it would make sense that they maybe do something similar in that sense. So in my head, I'm thinking like Zartan, Roblox, Covergirl, and then one more Cobra, which, I mean, Firefly?
Yeah, Firefly feels a little overdue, doesn't he?
Maybe Firefly. I know he's another heavy hitter. Would you... Major Blood and Firefly, are they on the same level, or is Major Blood a little higher, or is Firefly... What do you think?
I kind of think they are on the same level. I mean, obviously Major Blood came earlier, but I think they are. I think that it's splitting hairs to call them not on the same level. Firefly, you know, I know it's unpopular what happened with Firefly in the later comic issues of him, you know...
Being a ninja force.
Well,
you know what I mean, being the head of the ninja, being an Arashikage.
But I loved that story, personally. At the time that came out, I just thought that was the coolest thing. The fact that he had pulled some loose ends that he'd given himself earlier on in the storyline, you know, in order to get some characters out of that freighter if he needed to. I just thought that was, I just loved it. I thought that was great.
So, and I thought that figure was pretty cool as well, actually, honestly, the green one, the one that kind of came out in the battle core.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one myself. That year was the interesting part where some of the launching things were actually a little bit of a different mechanism.
Each time. Yeah.
So he came with something quite different.
I will have to say, I think Firefly and Major Blood might be they're heavy hitters, in my opinion. Not in the same level as Zartan. I think Zartan's probably more popular. But I would say that if they're both going to be in there, that might be a little bit of not a wasted slot, but an early slot for Super 7 not to make the most of it in the future. So I think
maybe you don't want to get to like wave 10 and not have as many
named
Cobras to go after, because at some point it's going to just be Cobra Troopers and Joes.
Exactly, because you probably want like, you know, Destro and the Baroness came together, literally. Obviously we had Cobra Commander and the Bat in the first wave, Destro and the Baroness in the second wave. The third wave we had Storm Shadow and the Trooper. So again, it kind of, they do make sense, because Cobra Commander is like the big one, and then they've got a Bat. Brilliant. The, you know, Destro and Baroness coming together makes sense. lost my train of thought now. And then obviously in the third wave, you had Storm Shadow and a Trooper. So it kind of makes sense that you're not just having all of the characters at once in the wave. So I would imagine with Zartan, would it be crazy to throw Zarana in there at the same time? Or she's probably big enough a character to have like a heavy hitter's position in her own wave.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy to me. In my mind, Zarana is the one who's actually always with the Dreadnoks running them.
I like that shout, Leon. Crimson Guard would be an absolute brilliant shout. Brilliant shout.
Crimson Guard would be good.
This is my personal four that I think are coming, Pat, and then you can give one if you want to. But I think now we're going to see Zartan, Crimson Guard, Roadblock, and Cover Girl.
I think that'd be a good set. Yeah,
I thought I put you to sleep for a second.
No,
there.
I did start to yawn. I'm very tired.
It's all right. We'll move on to the next. Yeah, I know. We'll move on to the next segment anyway. But that is probably going to be, well, that's going to be dropping next week. We'll find out who the tease is behind this particular accessory, and we'll find out the rest of the wave. We'll also find out later today, I'm imagining in like, I don't know, maybe quarter of an hour or maybe an hour and a quarter, or at some time very soon, we'll find out what this means for April the 1st as well. So we'll have a news burst for you guys. Don't worry about it. Okay. On to the next one then, Pat. And this is a doozy, but this is in Mezco Storm Shadow News.
Because we didn't have enough to talk about this week, Mezco Toys decided to drop a teaser followed by pre-orders for their next 112 Collective G.I. Joe figure, Storm Shadow. The pre-order came with an abundance of fancy product images of the figure in multiple poses and using a variety of their massive accessory loadout. Some highlights include three variant heads, the one we saw on the first reveal over a year ago, the more detailed armoured mask shown in most of the product images, and an unmasked variant. More hands than I'll ever know what to do with, display base and adjustable posing post, a smoke bomb throwing effect, throwing three shuriken effect, and a deflect three shuriken effect that affixes to either of the two swords he comes with. He gets the bow, quiver and sheaths backpack with arrows, two sai and nunchucks, two hand scythes, and lots of different shuriken. The figure will set you back $95 with shipping between October and December of this year.
There you go, Mezco Toys, 112 Collective Storm Shadow. Now, couple of points to make here before we kind of get into this pretty cool, you know, reveal. Mezco haven't actually, I don't think, delivered on anything yet. And we've had Roadblock, Destro, Snake Eyes, and now Storm Shadow with Firefly coming in soon. He's been revealed fully twice now. same with Storm Shadow, actually. We had a reveal over a year ago. Now we're seeing, you know, the pre-orders for this one. What are your thoughts, first off, Pat, with the whole process that Mezco have got going on here? Because it seems to be one of those things where they reveal a lot but don't always deliver early.
They need to deliver something. I mean, by the time they deliver something, like, I'm a little on the fence on these, and I am off the fence because of the length of time. Like, there was a point where I probably would have maybe jumped in on some of these.
Yeah.
But not only do I not have the opportunity to get one in hand to decide whether or not I want the rest of them.
Right.
Nobody has them in hand in order to do a review of them for me to even do a pre-order on any of them.
Exactly, yeah.
So I kind of feel like they've capped their audience. Unless the pre-orders just stay open. I'm not aware. Maybe that first figure will start to ship. And maybe there will still be an opportunity to get the rest of them after that one ships. And maybe I'm crazy.
Well, I looked on the website and it says add to watch list on the three figures they've got. So, or the wait list, sorry, not the watch list. Add to wait list. So I'm guessing that they are out, the pre-orders are done. And but then again, I'm sure you'll find it in stock in like BBTS, Entertainment Earth, those kind of places,
right,
as well.
Right.
But yeah, I have to agree, like, as cool as these look, and I know the quality of Mezco, because I do have a Mezco Batman from ages ago. So I know not only are they good, but they've probably improved since then as well. So I know it's going to be decent, but it's, yeah, the whole thing of like, of this kind of huge wait. It's one thing to have to wait for this stuff. It's another thing to have to wait this long for this kind of stuff. So I get the frustration people are having. Personally, I'm enjoying these from a distance anyway. So yeah. This is one of those things where if I see it in hand and I'm like, oh, this is cool, I might pick it up. But in terms of like getting on board with another $100+ a figure line, that's a difficult ask right now. These are like $95 on the Mezco pre-orders, but obviously with shipping and all the other stuff, taxes and so on and so forth, I'm sure it bumps it over well over 100. And then of course you've got some that are like, I think they came out like $112 when they first dropped. So you know, you're talking, it says it's $95, but it's more than that at the end of the day. So you do have to take that kind of stuff into consideration. That said though, Pat, this figure's pretty cool. and they have loads of amazing product photography. Mezco Go Full Force. Yeah. That's when you're watching the movie, guys, and someone says the name of the title in the movie. That's what happened there. They do go full force in the product photography, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. That looks really good. I kind of wonder how much they've built there versus how much they've Photoshopped in later.
I'm sure there's a lot of Photoshop going on.
Oh, there is a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
But how much? You know, do they have some of these backgrounds available?
I want to say that the one that weighs unmasked and he's sitting in the dojo, the Arashikage Temple dojo kind of scenario, it does look photoshopped in the background. I don't think that is a real diorama necessarily.
I don't think so either. But they may have just printed out something to put behind some of them, but they probably didn't.
Totally. I'd also say that's probably a fake mountain, but maybe the one he's standing on is one like a little dio rock.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of looks like it's there to me.
Yeah. And that roof is probably photoshopped as well. Probably. And I don't think that's the real moon.
Sure?
I'm just messing.
You don't think it's the sun, do you?
Oh, it could be. It could be. That's not real snow. No, but again, wonderful product. So I do love these. They always
make me... That's why it takes a long time. They have to wait for it to snow in order for them to do their product photography so that they can get it out.
We're going to have to wait another year, guys. Sorry, until we can actually do the reveal properly. I was actually happy because, you know, when we spoke about that, we cast your mind back over a year ago, Pat. We discussed that first reveal on the show, and we were talking about how cool the not this head, but the other head looked with the kind of like sewn, stretchy fabric recreation sculpt. We were quite into that, weren't we?
I think so, yeah. I recall thinking that it looked good.
And I was a little bit upset when I saw the new reveal. I thought, oh, have they done away with that head? But no, even though all of the product shots have this kind of new armored, detailed kind of one, that you do get three heads. You get this one, you get the one they first revealed, and you get the unmasked one as well. But anyway, yeah, love that. Oh, Jamie Lynn has made a good point here. Mezco uses a fair amount of Photoshop on the figures as well. The images can be a little misleading. I definitely get that, what you're saying there on that one too. It's like you're not going to get them into some of the scenarios that they're in because they are doing a lot of work on, you know, getting them into those positions. But I still think, like, in terms of the general posing abilities, that you're probably okay. But how it maybe looks might be doctored a little bit or blurred a touch. But I still think the figure looks pretty dope. And even when you see it when it's not, you know, in these shots, it looks pretty cool. Of course, we've got the full force explosion image. They always have to have that, don't they?
For sure. Yeah, that's what they had to get that in there just so you could have it on the show.
RKW says when they release is also misleading. When they release,
I'm curious how the soft goods actually look in hand. You know, for a 1/12, this is a 6-inch figure.
Yep.
For it to have this much soft goods, that generally does not work at that scale.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the time that they're putting in is being spent to make sure that they have, you know, all the stitching down to the perfection that it needs to be in order to make them look good, I don't blame them for waiting because, you know, each fabric design and pattern is going to be different from figure to figure.
Yes.
So they're going to have to perfect that each and every time. So yeah, I'm really curious to know how it actually looks in hand, because it sounds like we have a lot of people in here who have some experience that I absolutely do not.
Well, I can say, like I said, that Batman I have is perfect. And again, a lot of soft goods, top, bottoms, the cape, there's a lot of soft goods on that figure, but it works for how it's done, and it looks perfectly great. So again, that was a long time ago. We're talking like, what, 10 years ago? Probably longer than that now. My goodness. It was a long time ago.
Did you order it 15 years ago then?
I ordered it 30 years ago, Pat. No, that was one of those ones where it was like out and Nick had it in his store, and, okay, and he said, oh, we just got these in. And I was like, oh, cool. And I just bought it on the spot there and then. But it was an absolute, yeah, I was very impressed with it in general. Anyway, these shots here, again, these are very highly doctored. I'm not sure the throwing effects are going to look as cool as this. But yeah, that again, you're seeing it from, you know, from their highly Photoshop perspective. The one on the left reminds me of the issue where he's wearing his version 2 outfit and this Red Ninjas storm the building they're in.
The water tower? Do they storm the water tower? Is that the one you're thinking of?
No, no. They're in a building. They're in like the dojo or something, the building that they reside in. And it's like 80-something, maybe 82? It's like a silent issue, I want to say. I think it's like another silent... It's like the second silent issue they did. And it reminds me of that scene where he's in the roof and he jumps down and he takes a bunch of them out. But yeah, like I wonder if like some of the inspiration was from the comics and stuff like that for some of these shots. But I imagine so. I know that this one on the left is this one with the bow is reminiscent of the Robert Atkins artwork he did of Storm Shadow, doing the same kind of thing. So they've definitely been taking inspiration from Storm Shadow images over the years for these.
Yeah, that's cool that they're doing that. I like it.
Throwing a smoke bomb there. I didn't know that's what it was until I read that it said smoke bomb effect. So he's throwing a smoke bomb. Also, they didn't mention, we'll get to it in a second, they didn't mention in the loadout that he has those kind of throwing spikes. But I believe, obviously he does, because in every shot, more or less, he has them on his secondary, or he doesn't. So they must be removable in that case. And then we have my favorite image of the entire selection, Pat, and that is inside somebody's colon.
That's this, also specific for the full force, I'm sure.
This is live footage from someone's colonoscopy right here on the left hand side, isn't it not? I mean, come on, serious, what is that? Tell me what that is if it's not the inside of someone's butthole.
That's a tunnel. That's clearly, there's a train coming at him and he's just too badass to care. He's got his nunchucks. And
a train? Or is it the doctor's little light on his, that he's using on his hat? Is that what it is? I think he's literally looking up there to see what's up there, and there's a storm shadow in there that he's got to take out.
You could be right.
100% right. Anyway, that... The other shot also shows the detail on the underside of his foot. So you can see the kind of ninja shoe, the texture on there. The cave is dripping, Pat, for goodness sake. Anyway, we'll move on. Then we have the inside of a robot's colonoscopy. Amazing. Of course, I don't really think it's a butthole. It's
just your brain did go there. It did.
It's funny because that's exactly what I thought when I saw that image. I just thought, whoa, that is, where have they taken that image from? Where's that Photoshop image come from? And then the robot one makes loads more sense because robots, of course, as we know, have buttholes. I like that one, Jeremy. Can I post that? I'm going to do it anyway. Brilliant. Then we got this image, which I think, I correct me if I'm wrong here, actually you probably won't know, but you might do. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the early Mirage comics, when Raphael is on the roof, he's staking out the Foot Clan HQ. He's like on the roof in almost the same kind of position, similar kind of position. This is what I imagined was the... Oh, damn it! They've released, Pat. Thank you, Michelle. Where's the release? Oh, I can't find it.
Yeah, I'm just going to respond to you saying that the Raphael thing, that's way too specific of a reference for me to realize. I don't see Super 7's a thing on Twitter.
I don't see it on Twitter or Facebook. Maybe it's on their website. But basically, I'll just tell you now, we're not going to talk about it now, but we'll obviously, I'll do a news burst following this particular scenario. I can't see it anywhere. Have you just said that just to shake us up? Can you find it yet, Pat? Have you seen anything yet?
No.
Okay. I'm trying super7.com. Yeah, there it is. It is exactly what we expected it to be, the Cobra Escape Pack. And there we have the box set of Cobra Commander Baroness and Destro in the subway. Isn't that amazing? Reaction as well.
Nice. Nice.
There we go. Thank you very much, Michelle. April Fools, it's legitimately happening. And then I'll do this one as well. There you go. Look.
Oh, I remember wonderful. The first time that they showed some figures for April Fool's Day. People were a little confused as to whether or not you would actually get them.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
We were, yeah.
I remember that was for the PSA parody collection, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I bought those and they showed up, so.
So there. I have to do the usual thing now of $65 for the 3-pack. In a fun little package, subway package. But I'm just going to have to do the thing now. Sorry, guys. This is like in the middle of our episode, talking about Mezco as well. How rude.
Well, we knew that it was just going to be like breaking news.
We knew it was going to happen. I should have done. I should have made some sort of video scenario where that would have made sense, but no, I didn't. Super... 7 reveal April 1st set.
Oh, you're making a post right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, proper full on post.
So we're getting to see behind the scenes.
You're seeing behind the scenes of what happens when this kicks off. Yeah. Amazing. Sorry, I'm getting there.
Now, I'm wondering if they're going to post anything more today. So, like, if I check out with this now, is that going to be too early? Will I be jumping the gun?
Oh, you mean like if they do like socks and underpants and glassware?
Or a shirt. This is actually a Super 7 shirt. If you're interested in one of these, this is I don't know if they still have this in stock. That's where I got it, was super7.com. The
Pat is sponsored today by Super 7. I'm just going through the motions, by the way. So I have to do this on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So this is what I have to deal with. Whenever something happens, this is how long it takes me as well. Like I'm some sort of like elderly person that's never used a computer or any sort of, you know, anything in the past. Nearly done. And
everyone go reply to it and tell them to get back to doing the live episode.
Yeah. So like, what are you doing, you idiot? Well, I can't post it on YouTube because no, I can. I just did. There we go. Lovely stuff. Right. Okay, there we go. Thank you very much. You helped us a lot there in the comments, guys. I appreciate that very much. Fake news, RKW. I think I got yelled at being fake news when I did that for the PSA parody collection. And people were saying, no, it's a joke. It's not real. I'm like, guys, I've literally been told and confirmed that this is legitimate. Do not worry. And everyone was like, no, it's fake. You're not going to get anything. And then obviously it was obviously true. So dismiss me at your peril is what I'll say to that. Right. Coming back to Mezco then, Pat, because we're going to have to finish this soon because I've got loads of work to do now. Thanks, Super 7, for dropping this. Although they did drop it at what should have been the end of this episode. So That's on us. That's on me. Right. So I'm going to say that you don't believe that's the Raphael.
Well, in the meantime, you took so long. I actually found the picture you were talking about Raphael.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. But he's kind of on the corner.
I guess.
And his hand is like down over the side.
On the side. Yeah. Yeah.
But he still has like his arm back. I see the similarity. I do see what you're saying.
You're right, though. It's probably a stretch. I should have said...
It's reversed as well, because he's looking the other way.
What I should have said was, this was the vibe I got when I saw this image, not this is what their homage was. But yeah, there we go. Okay. Then, of course, we've got the loadout that he comes with, which is quite significant. 14 hands, Pat. Is that too many? How many hands?
14 hands is a lot.
How many hands is too many?
How many is too many?
Yeah.
Well, I can clearly see that two of them are climbing claws hands.
Yeah. Yeah. One is holding the smoke bomb. One is like a chop. One is like two of them are spread. And then you've got some that I can't even tell the difference between. Like,
do they maybe on the other side of it? Because we're seeing the back of all of them. Do they maybe on the other side have, like, the throwing stars or something on there?
It seems weird that they would hide that important element to show off how many hands he has. But yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Could very well be.
They could just, you know, function like other ones, though, where you take the actual ones and put them in the hand the way that you want.
That's what I figured. I figured some were just like to use the bow and arrows. Some were to use the ninja stars and so on, and throwing daggers. I don't know. It just seems quite a significant amount. And then, of course, closed fists as well, which he's wearing in the default too. I think they're the ones on the far right of the group of 14. That's a lot. Anyway, three different variant heads, the posing post and the display base, the effect, the throwing effects, all the weapons. Comes with a lot of stuff here, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, and I just zoomed in on those gloves. I really can't tell the difference between some of them.
That's exactly my point. Samesies. Anyway, that is Mezco Storm Shadow. Pat, what are your thoughts on the figure as a whole?
It's nice. If you're a Storm Shadow collector, I think that this is going to be one of the ones that looks really nice on as far as standing out among the other ones.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's not any particular Storm Shadow.
Yeah.
They didn't really go for Storm Shadow version 1. He has a hood, which is a little bit different. It's not quite the Storm Shadow that we didn't get from Classified either. It doesn't really look like Classified Storm Shadow to me. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. There's elements of it that kind of like completely go away from the original Storm Shadow, but you can still tell that it is. I totally agree with that. I think there's like signposts, you call them, wouldn't you, of the original kind of in there. And that's easier to do when you've got effectively an all white kind of, you know, ninja getup. It's like you can add little elements to it to update it, but it's not going to take away necessarily from that kind of that base figure. There's that vibe I get from 3-0 where they do a lot of upgrades to the design. They do a lot of different additions and pieces and stuff like that. But with Mezco, it's like there's the figure, and then you put like shin guards, a couple of secondaries, and it's like it's different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think the shin guards and stuff would come off on this one, though?
Probably not. I just mean in terms of a design, from a design perspective, not a literal perspective. Cool. So that is Mezco Storm Shadow. Link in the description if you are interested, of course, guys. We're going to move on pace because I realize I've got more to do as the time continues to dwindle away. So we're going to move on now to our last story of the week, and that is in a buttload of classified news.
What a week it has been for Classified. First up, we had a bevy of images and video reviews flowing in, showing off the latest G.I. Joe Classified series figures in hand, starting with Bazooka when Rich O'Reilly shared some images, and then Dan Who Reviews popped up with a review and a comparison video of the Joe's Bazooka Specialist. The following day, another image emerged, this time on 5K Toys Instagram story, showing an in-hand pick of two Copperhead figures and Rock and Roll and Torpedo from the latest wave in that fresh new packaging. It has been a whirlwind of content since last weekend, and hopefully it bodes well for the distribution of the line despite a number of hang-ups for certain figures in certain locations. The figures look good though, and hopefully they will start shipping in the not too distant future. As well as all of that, we also got a cheeky leak reveal of the next Target exclusive Tiger Force Dusty. Images of the front, back and sides of the box emerged courtesy of Felipe G.I. Joe in Brazil. Following that, we got even more images of the figure out of the packaging. The box is in the now old style design with the full artwork on the front, same as the previous art, only slightly altered to reflect the new deco. Even though the back of the box gave us full renders of the new figure and his accessories, we got some much better images highlighting those aspects, which are all the same from the previous release, and it would appear as though they have homaged the original Tiger Force figure's card art by giving him the same face camo. Not from the actual original figure, of course, as he didn't have any. He looks great and will be a superb addition to the sub-team. No date yet for release, but expect him and the Python Crimson Guard to be officially revealed with pre-orders very soon.
Yeah, lots to talk about here as well, Pat. Loads of new things. Obviously, I'm wearing my Bazooka jersey for obvious reasons today, because it makes sense, right? So first up, we had Rich O'Reilly posting images of his in-hand Bazooka. And a few things popped out to me on these first images. It was the numbers on the jersey. And I think we've got other images of it. Yeah, here, where it looks a little bit lower in position on the lower part of the body. But it turns out that it might just be that that particular figure wasn't quite exactly tampoed perfectly. But what are your thoughts on seeing this bazooka first and foremost, Pat?
That was the same thing that stood out to me. It looks a little bit better there on the right. Even in the image there that you're comparing the two of them.
Yeah. This is from Dan Who Reviews as well. So we do have some nice images. Thank you, Dan, for sending these to us as well. Really appreciate it. But there's, you can see some images there on that it's not necessarily the case on every figure, as you can see.
Right. It needs to tuck up underneath there a little bit, you know, so if there's a little bit of overlap. So as you pose him, he doesn't always have that break in there.
Absolutely.
It looks like a good figure. It's about what I expected, though. You see, once you see the Tiger Force one, you just in your mind kind of, know what to expect from the standard figure. And I think the only surprises were the missiles, right?
Yeah, they've got those cool little decos on the yellow one on one, and the kind of teeth, the animal teeth on the other one, which again would make so much sense for Tiger Force, would it not?
I agree. I think in this case it would have been more interesting if they had released them the other way around, and the standard bazooka didn't have any of that on his missiles, and then the Tiger Force one just went all in on it, you know, having all of them have, like, you know, the tiger face and everything on some of the missiles. It would have been
Also, we know that there's a slight difference in the shade between the weapons and all that kind of stuff too, and the accessories.
Yeah.
Then we got. I mean, yeah. What else can you say about it? I mean, we know what to expect, and that's the figure, and it's all good. Then we got from 5K Toys this post in their stories, which showed two Copperheads in box, and of course, Rock and Roll and Torpedo. So these are probably a little bit further along than we expected. I was expecting, I must say, in the week to see more actual figure images following this, but nothing really kind of popped up or came about. So I'm not sure what the deal is with that, but I'm sure we're going to be seeing these very soon. I mean, interesting timeline-wise, because obviously Bazooka makes sense that he's out early and people are getting him in hand, because... what was I going to say? Sorry, then completely lost my train of thought, because Bazooka was planned ages ago. Like, he was in a line plan for, like, I want to say, like, it was like years ago. It was so long ago in terms of waves that he was planned. And it was before they switched to the five figure wave format. It was way before they switched to the five figure wave format. It was like a wave or two prior to them switching to the five-figure wave format, which is crazy. So that was moved and shifted. He was bumped along. And so it makes sense that that figure will be available at this point. Do you know what I mean? So I'm surprised to see these already. But what do you think with that? Do you think we're going to be seeing these soon?
Yeah. I mean, the way that releases have been happening in recent months, it just feels like a lot of stuff comes all at once. So, yeah, I think that we will see these soon.
Plus, as Sean mentioned, it has the old box art for Bazooka, and that is a very good point because, again, he was planned so long ago. I'm surprised he wasn't even in a window box, honestly. but, yeah, I guess that was... He was moved up, he was changed, the boxes changed, he went into those, and they changed the boxes again, and it was too late to do anything about it. So that's where I think we are with those. So I'm excited to see these coming out. Then Classified Dusty, Tiger Force Dusty appears. We first got these images, or we got the image on the left and a couple of other box images. And then we got actual images of Dusty out of the box, and so on and so forth. What are your thoughts on Dusty, Pat, seeing him for the first time?
It's a little light on the stripes.
I have to agree with that, yeah. Yeah. If you look at the lower torso, even on the Dusty regular deco, he's got some camouflage in that area, some of the brown spot splotch areas kind of in that zone. I'm surprised there's not even like half a stripe in there.
Yeah, it's like even looking at his arms from certain angles, you barely even notice the stripes. Like, your picture from the back there, it's like, oh, you can kind of see them on the upper, you know, on the shoulder, but it almost looks like it's just a patch from back there.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like the stripes are going to be really prominent as he is posed and as people take figure photography of him. It's almost like the stripes are just not going to be that evident, and it's kind of bad.
I have to agree on the stripes thing. The more I look at it, the more I think they've gone like almost perfectly symmetrical. And I don't think that's necessarily the vibe. Like the original wasn't perfectly symmetrical. Like it had pattern, but it didn't have, and it wasn't random, but it was more like staggered than it was like this, like,
yeah,
you know, double lines kind of thing. And I agree. I think there needs to be way more stripes, or not way more, but different position stripes, and like a little bit more like, I agree with that. It's the only thing I'm looking at that I think is of like an issue to me. Like I think the rest of the color is exactly as the figure was, pretty much. There's not much difference to the to the actual original. Right. Yeah, that is a bonus for me. For me, that is an absolute bonus to have the same camo as the card art.
Well, as the original card art, right?
No, it was the Tiger Force card art.
The original Tiger Force, though, because... Okay, because I'm just trying to separate out from the... I guess you're saying card. I'm just trying to separate it out from the box art that we have for this figure.
I'm talking about the vintage Tiger Force carded figure.
Yeah.
Same camo. That's what I'm saying. That's where the homage,
I believe. And that's probably because it used the same art as the original figure, right?
No, the art on the original card is different because it's a different camo.
Is it different?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't remember that. Just kind of want to see it myself.
So, like, these long stripe lines almost were changed for the... I imagine that's what they wanted to do with the figure as well.
Okay, I kind of thought that it was the same.
No, they are very, very different. And I imagine that's what they wanted to do with the actual figure, but then costed it out at some point as a deco hit on the original.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
No. The card art, the camouflage on Dusty's card art, the Tiger Force one, is the same as the card art on the first figure. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just having a look as well, because I thought they were different.
I think that this head and neck would actually look to me a little bit better popped on the first Dusty classified figure that we've gotten.
You see, that is what I assume they're looking at. Not necessarily the original Dusty card art, because the Dusty card art looks nothing like the deco they did on the original Dusty classified figure. So I'm guessing they looked directly at the Tiger Force card art, because it is exactly the same position. I wasn't aware, actually. I thought there was a difference in the card art deco, but you're right, there isn't. They're the same. It's the same position of
it. It does seem like they went back to the card art for this, though.
Yeah, 100%.
And that would have been lifted from the first figure. So it's a little bit like, is it the same camo, only lighter?
On the classified box. I haven't got the classified
figure.
No, the you mean the classified
the
figure itself?
The lines coming
the
up.
Classified figure itself is completely weird. Different.
It almost looks like the first one kind of has the tiger stripes, like at least on his left cheek. Like I kind of think that the two figures would almost look better if you swapped their camo around, or their heads.
That's actually a good point. I was looking around for my Tiger Force Dusty then to see if I could swap the heads.
Yeah.
I don't have a Tiger Force Dusty.
One of the things I kind of liked about Tiger Force Dusty, though, the lack of camo on his face created a better difference between the two figures.
I agree, but I wonder if they did it on this and it looked weird. I wonder if they tried that and it was like
I could imagine that, yeah.
Because they would want to save money where they could in some areas, and that would be a perfect place to save a deco operation, wouldn't it?
They could have put more stripes on the torso by having nothing in the face.
If they'd have taken it off his face and put it on his shirt, done, yeah. Fixed. But what I was getting at was I was happy that they did an homage to the card art here.
Yeah,
that was my point, and I like the fact that it's like, you know, they looked at that and they said, yeah, let's do a different face paint to the one, the other Dusty.
That is true. This and make is a it much different. Much more involved thing than just taking what was there and making it darker, which is what I kind of thought that they had done, but that's not what it is. It does match harder. Yeah.
But I think that's everything. Is that everything? Have we touched on everything? I want to say yes, because next
I'll look
is,
ahead.
I would myself, but I've had to turn everything off.
That is everything.
All right. Okay then, guys, we are going to move then into shout outs, and then I'm going to get off and do some work because I have to do some more things. So here we go. It's shout outs time.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
All right then. So we'll start with you, Pat. Obviously, what are we going to go for? Going to go for a bit of Tiger Force Phil.
Yes. Shout out to Tiger Force Philip.
I should have put deco stripes on his face, shouldn't I?
No. Again, it's fun school superhero Philip. shout out to him though. Sorry, I have not gotten to editing an episode. I kind of missed March, and that was because I was away, and then I've been sick.
I know it sucks, man. Get well soon, Pat. Everyone in the comments wish Pat a speedy recovery.
I think I'm almost recovered. I think today may actually be it. Yesterday felt like it was, and then I fell asleep for another 8 hours.
Jeez, today's pushed you over the edge, hasn't it?
Over the edge of what?
Exactly. Yeah. Over the edge of your illness. Yeah. Shout out to Phil. RKW just calls you a slacker. That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
It's probably accurate though. I've been doing nothing but sleeping and not watching TV, just sleeping.
Leon says, have a nitpick-free recovery.
All right.
Christoph says, feel better, Pat. Fell better, Pat. It's even worse. He wants you to fall over, if that's cool. Can you do that? Outback Stew says, the force will be with you always. Thank you, Outback Stew. The full force will be with you. Jeremy says, sending love to Pat and Tap, which is Mirror Universe.
Mirror Pat. Universe itself, yeah.
And then Christoph actually corrected it to say feel. There you go. So feel better, Pat. Don't fall over. Good shout. Good shout to Phil as well. Hope you're doing all right, buddy. I haven't spoken to Phil in ages. A few little messages here and there, but not properly. Shout out to the fam then. Kate is out at the moment. She's at Target, I believe. It's horrible weather outside, so hope you're okay, honey. And of course Phoebe is laying down here, so she's good. But shout out to the rest of the fam. I know Mom was in the comments earlier sending us hearts just to say that she was watching, but then probably bounced early because it was like, what, why do I don't even care. So love to Mom and Dad and the whole fam in the US and the UK, everyone. Big shout out to everybody. To Brian Sauer for all of our amazing graphics. Gotta love the recoil graphics for spring now. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate all the hard work you do for us. And shout out as well to Dan Klingensmith for his Creating G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero Kickstarter for Volume 11. I haven't checked where it's at, Pat. Do you know where it's at currently?
I do not. I think that I need to double check and make sure that I'm in on that because I've been out of it all week. I think I did wake up at some point and pledge to it.
That's dangerous. Sure. That is dangerous.
It is dangerous, yeah. Stuff just shows up in the mail then later.
I'm also double-checking to see if anything else... G.I. Joe Reaction Wave 6B is what they're calling Cobra Escape Pack. Interesting, that, isn't it? I just wanted to see if they were doing anything else, if they'd shared anything. It doesn't look like it. So we may get more stuff later in the day, but at the moment it's just that set, which is hilarious, and I love it.
You need another 3,000 to fund.
Brilliant. Well, that's close. How many days left?
Forever, probably. 16 days. So a little more than 2 weeks.
Awesome. Get pledging, guys. Link in the description. Shout out to Dan K as well. Odin01 says last day for Savage Crucible, by the way. So yeah, there's a good shout as well. If you are interested in that, guys. And Ryan Daly has just told us that got an email from Pulse that CoverGirl will ship soon. You mean this CoverGirl? Yeah, I'm going to have to open her soon, probably this coming week. But yes, Ryan, I'm glad she'll be coming. That's awesome. Also, obviously, to our listeners, our viewers, our patrons, to all of you guys for so much amazing support. We really appreciate all that you do for us. And we hope that the content's continuing to be good. Mom, take care, Pat, Mom says.
Thank you.
She doesn't mean it. Outback says, Chris, can we all call ourselves the Full Force Tigers? You can call yourself whatever you like, Outback Stew. I'm totally cool with that. Right then, we will be back next week. And of course, we're going to have probably loads of news in the week, and we're probably going to have loads of other videos to drop. There'll be unboxings for CoverGirl, for the Super 7 Wave 1 figures, for what else am I doing this week? A quick kick deep dive. We've got another monthly to record, which is Night Force related. Don't know why I did that, but Night Force related that Pat's going to be involved with, and Justin, hopefully. Massive shout out to everyone and all the great support. We love it. And I think that's everything. Is that everything, Pat?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what to do then at the end of these episodes. Well, I know what to do at the end of this episode. Lots more work. After three, one, two, three,
Full Force.
And I should really say thank you to Pat. I didn't say that, did I? I didn't thank you for joining us today.
I didn't notice. Well, thanks for having me on again.
And get well soon.
Okay, hopefully in the next.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.